Today is the continuation of last week, taken out of the Acts of the Apostles, the 17th and the 18th and the 19th chapter. I left off last week speaking to you about Paul going through the city and seeing all these altars erected to idol gods, and how that his spirit was stirred within him when he seen all this idolatry going on in this city of Athens, and how that he, being stirred in this way, spake to so many people in the marketplace, and every day he met people that were devout, he spake to them concerning the idolatry that was going on in this city. And we find that the Epicureans and the Stoics, the philosophers in Athens, they likewise heard him speaking about Jesus and about the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him before the Areopagus. This place, Areopagus, was the seat of judgment in Athens. According to the historian, it was upon a hill, and this was built out of limestone. There were judges that sat at the top of this hill. It's called likewise Mars Hill. Here they gave decisions against those that were guilty of crimes, especially those that protested against their gods. They considered their gods as being very sacred, and anybody speaking against them, they were brought before this judgment seat to be judged by the Areopagus. These Epicureans and Stoics, they took hold of Paul and dragged him up this hill before these judges who were sitting upon stones carved in this hill, marble stones. It was erected above the whole city of Athens. It was viewable from all places. These judges then, they were to give a decision on Paul. They spake to them and said that he was a setter forth of strange gods, and they heard him speak of things that they would like to know a little more about. It says that the Athenians, they were people that were so busy trying to find out something new. They spake so many times with each other and asked each other if there was anything new going on in the city of Athens. They liked to pry into the politics and also into personal matters concerning other people. This, the Athenians and the strangers that came into this city were busy with continually. They didn't seem to have any occupation, but they just babbled and talked and gossiped every day with each other about something new. The commentary says that there were 360 gossip houses. Just like we have cafes and coffee houses, they had gossip houses. And people resorted to these houses just to talk about something new. They then were tattlers, telling upon each other, taking each other and raking each other over the coals continually. This is what the Athenians were occupied with. While I speak about this, my hearers, there are many people just like the Athenians, even in our midst, and also outside of us. Oh, how often do we not hear that question, what's new? What do you know that's new? Are we any different than the Athenians? And how many are busy speaking about everyone else? They know everybody else's history, and they like to hear more about everybody else's history, but about themselves, you never hear them say a word. You never hear him say about a visit from Jesus, about a smile, about a token that he gave to them under the hearing of the word. They never have anything to say about the work of grace, but they have plenty to say about everybody else. One of these philosophers, he made a wonderful statement. He says, a man having two ears and one mouth, he should be very earnest in hearing, but should seldom speak. I think it's a very good saying of this philosopher, which would be applicable to a lot of Athenians and a lot of other creatures who are so busy talking about everyone else. And now these Epicureans and Stoics, and they wanted to know what this doctrine was that Paul had to speak about. And they set him up on Mars Hill. According to the commentary, there was all sorts of platforms in the top of this hill. And Paul, he was placed on one of these platforms above probably thousands of people that had gathered underneath to listen to what he had to say. He had a very good view of the whole city at the same time and also of the harbor. And now Paul, standing up on the top of this Mars Hill, he begins to speak and says unto these people that he had beheld in their devotions while he had been going through their city, an altar with an inscription upon it unto the unknown God. He says, I behold, he says, that you are very superstitious. And they were a very superstitious people, for they erected so many altars to idol gods, and they thought and believed that these altars, these stone images that they had spirits within them, demon spirits. And they believed that they controlled so many things going on in this world. Therefore, they worshiped every one of them, not just one, but they worshiped everyone. And Paul, he called them very superstitious, which they were. And he said that he seen this altar erected with this inscription on it, to the unknown God. And he commences to speak to them and says that they worship this unknown God ignorantly, but he was going to make known unto them who this unknown God was, whom ye ignorantly do worship. He then begins to speak to these Athenians about the God that made the heavens and the earth, who created the whole world and everything that is therein. He places before them the God of creation. Now this is Paul's sermon to the Athenians, to polite and very dignified idolaters, for that is all that they were. And he commences to speak to them that this God, whom they had an altar to, he did not dwell in temples. And I believe he stood on this hill and he pointed to them big temples that they had throughout the whole city. He said that this God didn't dwell in any of them temples made with stones. And he was not worshipped and served by anything with man's hands. No. And then looking into the harbor, they had a number of ships in the harbor. And on their ships, they had these insignias of their gods. And he pointing to them insignias and pointing to that big, fabulous, great, monstrous image of Minerva, he spake unto them and said that God was not worshipped or served in this manner. This God, this unknown God, he was the God that Paul worshipped, and that Paul set before them as being the God in whom we live, move, and have our being, and that he is very close unto us. And that this God, likewise, was the God that was to be worshipped, and that they could not worship him with those things as they had in their cities. This sermon of Paul to the Athenians was giving them a knowledge of the true and of the living God, and that he was very close to them, and that he was the one that had created them, and that they lived and moved and had their being through him, and that he upheld all things. Oh, Paul, he brought his hearers very close to this God. He brought them so close as to say, he is very near unto us. So close, that is, they would feel after him and seek after him, that they happily might find him. He brought them people so close to this God as if he was right in their midst, and he was. This God that Paul speak about is the same God that I am trying to give a little definition of. This great and glorious being who filleth all space, who is everywhere present, is present here in our midst. He is very close to us, my hearers. And oh, I wish and entreat you all that you would practically feel after him, that happily ye may find him, for in him you live, move, and have your being. Oh, what a blessing if we are given to know this great and glorious and divine being. Oh, how few know this God which Paul was speaking about unto the Athenians. The altar had the inscription to the unknown God. And how many people go to church, read the Bible, bend their knees, and worship a God that they do not know. He is unknown to thousands and millions of worshipers, even in the times in which we live. Oh, this unknown God is a God who we have certain thoughts and certain ideas about. Oh, there are so many that do not know him, for he is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And we cannot worship him by nature in this way. Oh, by nature we know not God. We are far from God. He is not in all our thoughts. We are without God, without Christ, and without hope in this world. And this is the God that we attempt to worship, who we do not know. Unknown. Oh, what an awful thing, my hearers. This God, he's so close to me and you. He's here in our midst. He's present here. So close, and yet we do not know him. We do not realize his presence round about us. We do not feel that he is so close to us, that he knows everything that's going on within us. Oh, how unconscious are we of the presence of this divine and glorious being. Oh, should God ever open your eyes, should God ever begin a work of grace in your hearts, that will be the first thing that you will realize and see and believe, that God is round about you, that God is so close to you that you can't do anything without God taking notice of it. And you wouldn't do anything either without taking notice of that God. You would bend your knees and seek him and ask him to be with you, for you realize he's around about you. Oh, then we are given a little knowledge of this God, my hearers, who we are unknown to by nature. Oh, how little do we know of this divine being. Oh, I wish every one of you knew something of him, my hearers. Oh, I would entreat you all to seek him. He's so close to us. You could lift up your mind, your heart, your thoughts to him while you're sitting here. Believe me, he's right here. He's right present. Oh, seek him while he is yet to be found. For you never know when you might be called upon
to leave this world. All my hearers, he's worth seeking after. You find him, you find life eternal. You find everything for time and eternity. Paul, speaking to the Athenians, he spake unto them and said, you must not think that the Godhead is carved out of gold or silver or stone or out of by man's hands. He's not the work of art, as you people have. All these images that you have, God is not in them. You can't worship God that way. Oh no, he says to his hearers. And this God, he says, has set a day aside, he says, for when he will judge this world in righteousness according to that man whom he hath before ordained thereto. All my hearers, Paul begins to speak about the day of judgment and about the day of resurrection, when God would judge this world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, his dear Son. All this day, my hearers, is a certain proof that there will be a resurrection of the dead. So many believe not that God will ever raise all the creatures that live here upon earth. They understand not how that God could gather all the particles of the bodies of creatures that have lived ever since creation. They can't believe that there will be a resurrection and that everyone will be brought forth on this day to see this God against whom they have sinned and who has created them. There is a day coming then, my hearers, Paul speaking to the Athenians, speaks of them, that they likewise will be judged in righteousness. All the Scripture gives us many proofs that there will be such a day. Your own conscience witnesses in you that there's going to be a day when God will judge you. And all my hearers, the justice of God demands that there will be such a day. And not only the justice of God demands it, but he has given unto us a law, and we are accountable to that law, and by that law we shall be judged. And God has given all judgment into the hands of his dear Son. And all he will come in his human nature, he will come from heaven, all filled with all glory, attended with thousands and thousands of angels, and he will descend, and the saints, they will be given to meet him in the air. Some people have a supposition that the saints will be judged 1,000 years before the rest of the wicked, but that is not so. According to Scripture, they shall be raised up in that day as a twinkling of an eye. Everyone will be raised up at the same time, and the saints will be lifted up to be with him in the sky, where he will judge the world in righteousness. All these that shall be judged, they are people and wicked angels. The devils also shall be judged. All mankind shall be judged, and also the devils who have been reserved unto the day of judgment. Then they will come forth and receive their final sentence, and they will be cast into the gulf of hell forever and ever. And every person will be judged in that day. He will be judged for his thoughts, for his words, and for his actions. And you and I, my hearers, believe me, will be there in that great day. And all this judge, whose eyes shall be as a flame of fire, and who looketh into every heart, he will judge righteously. There'll be no buying this judge. Oh, my hearers, what a day that will be when Jesus shall come. And we read, the book shall be opened, and everyone shall be judged out of what is written in the books. Oh, what a day that will be when the book of conscience is opened. Oh, how many times hasn't your conscience and mine witnessed against us? Oh, if we ever have a voice, we have it here, my hearers, that tells us there's a day coming when God is going to judge us. And oh, when that conscience goes open and we don't have a Savior, we don't have a righteousness to present to God, oh, what an awful day that will be. All those warnings, all those admonitions, all those things that God came with in your conscience will witness against you. Oh, this conscience, I believe, it will be open to all eternity in hell. Oh, that conscience will be that worm that shall never die, and that fire that shall never be quenched. Oh, what a day that will be when God begins to open the book of the law. Oh, we've transgressed this law so many times. We've been over the top of it. Oh, we have such vain thoughts about God and His law. There are so many people that live under the hearing of the gospel, and they have, as they think, a hope in the general mercy of God. They think it ain't going to be so bad. It's not so as you picture it. Oh, no, it ain't going to be like that, they think. I know I've done many things that are wrong, and still do, but I believe God is merciful. God will forgive. Oh, how many, I believe, are sitting upon this fatal delusion and whose eyes will go open in that day and find that it's a rock that they've been building upon and that it was placed upon the sand. Oh, my hearers, deceive not your soul with a general hope in the mercy of God. Oh, there is no mercy outside of Christ. In Him alone you are safe for time and for eternity. And this judge you must know, he must be your friend. You must meet him in this life. And if you do not, I fear for the salvation of your souls. Oh, what a day that will be, my hearers, when God will open the book of Scriptures, the book I have in the front of me. And that book that came to you so often and the contents in it, oh, you've heard it from childhood to this present day. And then in that day, God will say, what did you do with my word? I came to you. I entreated you to leave your sins, to forsake the world, to come to me. And oh, I was willing to receive you. I entreated you through my messengers. And I called upon you, and you would not hear. You refused to come. Oh, what a terrible thing that will be, my hearers. He still comes to you. He still entreats you to come to Him. Return unto me, He says, and I will receive you, and ye shall become my sons and my daughters. Could you want it any better? Could you want it any easier? And all you refuse to return. Oh, my hearers, such is our nature. And oh, in that day, those things will come to you. Oh, what a hell in a hell that'll make out for you people who have lived under the gospel, who have been given to hear God calling to you, and you willfully, and you in enthusiasm, refuse to come. All my hearers, of these books being opened, we all will be judged out of them. And then the book of life will be opened. All your life in all its perfect plan will be laid before you. This is the way you lived. This is the way you acted. This is the way you went on. My life, your life, and that life will be revealed unto you. And all of in this life you have learned Jesus Christ to be your life. Oh, what a wonderful thing it'll be in that day. That judge, he's your friend. He sought you out. He planted life divine in your soul. And all that will come back, that book, in that day, that in that time, that in that year, you were led to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You were led away from everything else to find mercy in his holy sight. Oh, may you find it, my hearers. It'll be too late in that day. And that day is hastening upon us. We know not how soon it might come. Oh, to be prepared. Death is coming. And after death, the judgment. Oh, may you yet in this life seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is yet near. Oh, ye wicked amongst me, may you be given to forsake your ways. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. My hearers, this Paul, he brought before these people this day and the day of resurrection. And these people, they laughed, they mocked, and probably there may be some amongst my hearers that do not laugh outwardly, but inwardly maybe you're mocking too. But oh, remember, you may mock, but God will judge you, and that righteously. These Epicureans and these Stoics, they laughed at him, and they could not believe that there would be a day of resurrection. And therefore Paul, he departed from them. But it was not without blessing that he spake here, my hearers. There was one of those judges, Vinicius, he was one of those that sat upon a stone seat, and he was touched, he was converted by the operation of the Spirit of God. This judge, it is said in history, that when Christ died, he was in a city in Egypt. And when the unnatural darkness came over all the earth, then this man in his natural state, he said, either the God of heaven and earth suffereth, or he is suffering for one other that is suffering. This judge, he was converted under the ministry of Paul to Christianity, and he became the first bishop to the church in Athens. And according to church history, he labored zealously amongst these Athenians, and it cost him his life. He became a martyr. He was hanged by the head in Athens itself, and he gave himself into the hands of that God who had given unto him that wonderful life in Christ Jesus. And now we find Paul, my hearers, in the next chapter, he departs from Athens and comes to the city of Corinth. This city, Corinth, was in the land of Greece, and this city was a wealthy city. It was situated on an isthmus, and it had two ports to it. And according to the commentary, it was a port that was easily accessible by those navigators in those times that had very little knowledge how to navigate ships. That they could bring their ships into these ports very easily without any fear of them coming upon rocks and being shipwrecked. And therefore, this Corinth became a center of trade and a very wealthy city. They received much of the riches of Asia in and through Caesarea, which was one port. And they also had much trade with Italy and Sicily from the other port called Lebanon. And now we find that this city, Corinth, was also noted for its learning. It was not only wealthy, but it had much knowledge. It was called the Light of Greece for the learning that took place in this city. But it was also known and infamous for an idol that they had in this city called Venice, an idol goddess. The commentary says there were 1,000 female slaves that prostituted themselves to all for the honor of this goddess. What an awful thing must have been going on in this city of Corinth. It was easier, they said, to find a prostitute than to find a man. Imagine this city, Corinth, with all its wealth and with all its learning, deeply sunk in worshiping this idol goddess, Venice. Paul came to this city, and there were many Jews in this city, and they had a synagogue. And Paul went into the synagogue to reason with the Jews. Or he spake to them that Jesus Christ had come into this world. He argued with them. He disputed with them for 3 Sabbath days. And they became angry with him, just as the other Jews. No matter where this man went, he was opposed. Wherever he brought the gospel, somebody stood up and opposed him in it. And especially the Jews. And they opposed him here in the city of Corinth. And they blasphemed. And he became irritated and angry with them. And he shook his raiment off to them. And he said, "Your blood be upon your own heads." He says, "I will return unto the Gentiles." And he left them. And after leaving them, he went into a house of a man by the name of Justus, whose house was hard on to the synagogue. And now this man, Justus, he was converted to the Christianity. And another man, Crispus, who was the head of the synagogue, he and his whole family was converted. And many others of the Corinthians were converted under the preaching of Paul. But Paul decided to go to the Gentiles. He had blessing on his labor, but he was opposed by the Jews, they being so hateful. And now what happens? Oh, my hearers, I love this. There Paul receives in the night a vision from God, speaking unto him and saying unto him, "Be not afraid, speak, hold not your peace, for I am with thee. No one will set on thee to hurt thee. I have much people in this city." Oh, my hearers, this apostle, he needed something like this. And all God's servants need this at times. Oh, what a blessing that God knows what goes on in his servants. He knows how despondent they are, how discouraged they are, how that they would run away sometimes from their labors. But we marvel at this man, Paul, that no matter where he went, he was filled with zeal to teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And here he wanted to depart from them, but God came to him and encouraged him wonderfully. "Be not afraid, speak. Hold not your peace just because men oppose you, just because the Jews rise up against you. Do not be afraid, Paul, but speak. For I am with you, and I have much people in this city." Oh, I was thinking and I was praying when I was meditating on this. Oh, that God would have much people amongst us, my hearers. Oh, he sends his servants for a purpose. Paul had to remain there. There was many people in that city. They had to be brought to under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And therefore he was told to remain there. He remained there 1 year and 6 months. He taught the gospel to these Corinthians. And many of them were converted under the ministry of Paul. What a blessing when God sends a servant to a certain church or a certain city with that message. I have much people in this city. All my hearers, God has his people, all of us. And I hope and pray that every one of you, my hearers, may be one of them. We don't know these things. It is only God that can give you to know whether you are one of them or not. Oh, attend then under the ministry of the word. And it may be that God will reveal under the ministry that you are one of them. And what a mercy it will be for your immortal soul. My time is gone. Next week, we will continue from here on. I'm falling behind, as you notice, with the lessons. I would like to go along with the rest of the Bible class and just take that lesson. But there's so much in this book of Acts, which I think is interesting and is very good to hear and to be instructed out of. The Lord willing, we'll continue from this point next week. That's all for today.